I invite you, congregation, to turn in the back of your Psalter hymnals to Lord's Day 123. As we learn from the Lord Jesus how to pray, we're studying through the Lord's Prayer, and there's an explanation of that in question and answer 123 on page 895 in the back of your songbooks, page 895. What does it mean to pray, "Your kingdom come"? And a lot of scripture is brought together here to give us a summary of what that means. Lord's Day 48. What does the second petition mean? "Your kingdom come." It means, "Rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your holy word. Do all this until your kingdom fully comes, when you will be all in all." Let's also turn to Matthew 6. We have that call to seek first the kingdom. After telling us to pray, "Your kingdom come," Jesus explains that further, telling us what it means to pray that, to seek first the kingdom. Matthew 6, page 964 in your Bibles, the Bibles before you. Matthew 6. We'll read verses 24 through 34. Because of the "therefore" in verse 25, we're being told to look back before that heading. We'll start at verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This is God's word. May he bless and build our lives through it. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we live in an upside-down world, a world where everything is wrongly ordered. The wrong starting point is self-love. And then we build things backwards from there. Husbands put self before wives. Wives put self before husbands. Children put self before parents, and parents put self before children. Civil rulers put self before the people, and then people put themselves before the rulers. Employers put self before the employees, and employees put themselves before the employers. And everyone puts himself before God, and what we're left with is a perfect mess called death. Death. That's a culture of death. Because everybody is busy building his own kingdom, where he or she is first. And everybody's here. You're all here to fill my bank account, satisfy my desires, and follow my wishes, do what I want. And that creates a disordered society of prisoners, where everybody's locked up in the prison of self, and Satan is Lord of all. That's his disastrous idea anyway. Put yourself before God and build your own kingdom. That's the first temptation. But Jesus came to restore the proper order, where God is first, and his name is first, his kingdom is first, his will is first, and all life is oriented around him. And that's the orderly family life also given to Albert and Allison and Jude. It's not around the dad. It doesn't revolve around the mom. It doesn't revolve around the child. It revolves around God. And when we understand that kingdom life, that's the good life. That's freedom. That's peace. And Jesus taught us this radical prayer, that the world would be reordered around the kingdom of God rather than ruined around the kingdom of self. That God's kingdom, his name, and his will come first before everything else. And Jesus, through this prayer, wants to shape our heart's desire as well as our prayers and our life into a your kingdom come desire. We want to see that as our theme this afternoon. Seek God's kingdom first. That's what Jesus taught us in this prayer, how he taught us to pray and desire. Seek God's kingdom first. In a world of worry, first, we submit to Jesus' authority. Second and third, pray against Satan's opposition. In a world of worry, we submit to Jesus' authority and pray against Satan's opposition. Seek God's kingdom first, brothers and sisters, in a world of worry. What does it mean to seek God's kingdom first? Well, it's helpful to think that God's king is Jesus. So to seek God's kingdom first is to make the first and most important thing in your life submitting to King Jesus. Loving him, obeying him, being loyal to him, doing what he says. And when King Jesus is first and foremost in your life, that's when you're seeking the kingdom. And when you're praying against everything and everyone that opposes the rule of Jesus, and praying that everyone, everywhere will also join you in willingly bowing down to Jesus and serving him first, that's seeking the kingdom. It's radical, it's impossible, it's incredible. Except when Jesus came in the flesh to die for our sin, he destroyed Goliath's kingdom, Satan's kingdom. He crushed the serpent's head. And when he rose, he established the kingdom. And so his kingdom is here. The power, the glory of God are here. They've invaded planet Earth. And we're praying that God will cause it to grow. If he can plant it, he can make it grow. Submission to King Jesus rather than submission to the dark Lord Satan. So that's the kingdom we pray for. More and more in this world where Satan rules many hearts and many lives and many schools and many workplaces and governments. That instead, people will be rescued from the lie, from the bondage of sin and kingdom of darkness, the powers of darkness, and be brought to the light, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Christ, and bow down to him until finally a day comes where everybody is on his side. And everybody who's not, he sends away. He puts in hell. What a radical prayer. To pray for such a world is one thing, but to expect that God will hear and answer is another. Well, after teaching us the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, Jesus didn't just move on to the next topic. He explains what it means to put God's name first, hallow God's name, and to seek God's kingdom. And he unpacks that prayer, especially in the latter portion of the chapter, verses 19 through 34. There at the end of Matthew 6, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, verse 33. But that isn't just thrown in the middle of nowhere. What's the context of that call? How does it fit here? Well, Jesus is saying, in a world where everybody is seeking food, clothing, and stuff, in a world where everybody's worrying about himself, his car, his truck, his health, his house, his business, his finances, paying the bills, what are worries? They're obsessions with the things of this life that distract us from pursuing what's most important. They're obsessions with the things of this life that distract us from pursuing what's most important of life in life, and that is God. God's kingdom. Submission to Jesus. Well, it's in that context of worrying about everything but God, worrying about everything except God's kingdom, that Jesus says, I want you to put your worrying energy into something far greater than yourself. That's why there's so much stress, isn't there? Seeking God's kingdom. Because worry is the sin of putting other things before God rather than entrusting other things to God. It's the sin of putting other things before God, that is, instead of God, rather than entrusting other things to God. And we'll entrust that, the other things in the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. But seek first the kingdom. We live in a world where people make so much of themselves, building their own kingdom, worrying about so many things except for God. And Christ's disciples, and it doesn't matter whether you teach or preach or truck or farm or sell tractors or cut hair, Christ's disciples have a totally different focus in all they do and say, a radically different desire, and they live a totally different life of seeking God's kingdom, looking for a world where I and others are bowing down to King Jesus and looking more and more like him and submitting to his authority and fighting everything in my life that rebels against him. That's my first worry. And for Albert and Allison, as God puts his holy name on Jude, a sign and seal that Jude is the possession of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's reminding you that your first prayer and desire for Jude is not that he's smart. Might be nice. Has its problems. That he might be rich or strong or have lots of friends or handsome. Or as I remember living in the States, first goal of dad for his son is to be a good basketball player, a football player in high school, right? Like everything else is okay, but that's number one. Not for you, not for us. These are gifts of God that can be used, but to pursue The kingdom, in the case of having a son, is to put all the focus in Jude's life on seeking first the kingdom, of embracing the faith and contending for that faith once for all delivered to the saints. Put all your energies into that. All your prayers energy, all the energy for all the training that you do and talking and admonishing and so on. There's so many things you can worry about in your child's life. My favorite thing is when a child, a mom or dad, are super worried about their salvation. I will never say you shouldn't worry about that. We should. Now, not a worry that doesn't trust God to do his work, but that concern that governs my heart and mind. Well, secondly, your kingdom come is a prayer that in a world where we worry about so many things and make this our chief worry that governs every other worry, that we, our children, our neighbors, live in submission to God's King and in this way seek God's kingdom. Seek God's kingdom. In a world of worry, we seek to submit to Jesus, God's King. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles, congregation, or stay there in Matthew 6, but notice where Jesus goes before he talks about worry. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. First, he describes what is the center of a kingdom life, and then he talks about, he warns against distractions against it. So 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What's the kingdom life? What's seeking first the kingdom? Investing your life in the kingdom of heaven, trusting him, offering your life to him, suffering for him, witnessing for him, helping the needy for him. And then if you jump ahead to verse 24, here's the second part of the kingdom life. The first part, 19 and following, invest your life in heaven. 24, serve the right master. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And there we get the worry issue. Don't be anxious, therefore. If you serve money, then you're going to be anxious about all those things, food, clothing, and so on. And that will be your fixation. If you're going to serve the Lord, you'll have to pray for those things. You have to entrust those matters to God. But God the Father in heaven, who cares for you, who knows your needs, will be your confidence, will be your focus, and your delight and your pursuit. So let this be our number one prayer and worry, that God will use his word in the Spirit's power to bring my life more and more under the control of King Jesus. That the fruit of the Spirit, seek first the kingdom, seek first submission to King Jesus. That the fruit of Jesus' Spirit grow in me. The works of the flesh die in me more and more. That I be less envious, less lustful, proud, bitter, harsh, self-righteous, criticizing, cowardly, and quarrelsome. I be less that, that I die to that, and my submission to Jesus' rule in my life would increase. And if I'm sick or persecuted or abused, I seek healing. I pray for justice. I pray for endurance. But even more, I pray that God will use this terrible thing to bring glory to his name. And secondly, that rather than this terrible thing drive me away from the Lord. He would use it to make me stronger and more submissive person who can then minister to others. That same grace God gave me. The kingdom must come first. And at the same time, it's a missionary prayer, this seeking first God's kingdom. More and more, I may submit to you, but that others may also. In Acts 28, we get a sense of what it means to seek the kingdom. Paul arrived at Rome as a prisoner to stand before Caesar's court. He was placed under house arrest under constant supervision by a guard, but he had freedom. And he used that freedom to proclaim the kingdom. Acts 28, 30 and 31. Listen to how the Bible describes missionary labor. Think of a missionary like this. Paul lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God. He proclaimed the kingdom of God. And he taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Those two go together. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and he taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness and without hindrance. And when we seek first the kingdom, we're praying that the name of Christ, Christ crucified and risen from the dead, ascended into heaven and reigning, ruling over the nations and coming again to judge the living and the dead, that Christ will be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. And as he's proclaimed, Lord, use the missionary's labor to invade that heart that right now is bowing down to King Satan, a false lord. To capture that heart and bring him into submission to King Jesus. Bring him to faith. Bring him into the kingdom of Christ. And so preserve your church and increase it. That's part of it. I look for increasing submission to Jesus in my own life. As I have in every area of my life, places of trouble, of sin, of conflict, of opposition to Jesus, where I need to die to sin and grow in the Lord. And if I'm not willing personally to keep on submitting and growing, I'll not only become stale, but I'll die. You can't be a true Christian and not grow more and more in submission. But I look for it beyond myself. A kingdom prayer is a worldwide prayer. It's always the danger that our focus is way too narrow in our prayer life. But kingdom is a worldwide prayer that we pray that the Lord would use his word and spirit, the message of Jesus, as a kingdom power that invades people's hearts and lives and bring them more and more submission to Jesus Christ. And there may be somebody like Jude here or somebody else whom the Lord will raise up as missionaries, missionary pastors, pastors in established churches for the increase of the kingdom through the preaching of the gospel. But he calls us all in that work as mission workers, mission laborers. We might not be missionaries officially, but we're all involved in the mission, as Paul had many co-workers, men and women. Now think about it. The kingdom of Christ is the rule of Christ. The church of Christ is the people of Christ. The kingdom of Christ is the rule of Christ invading people's lives to make them the people of Christ. So your kingdom come is really a prayer for the expansion of the church to the ends of the earth. And we're praying the promise of Psalm 22. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindred of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. We're seeking the globalization of Christianity. Now, thirdly, when you're praying for God's kingdom to come, We're also praying for Satan's kingdom to go. We're praying against the kingdom of darkness. If we just put up the slide for a moment for the question and answer 123. We're praying, rule my heart more and more by your word and spirit, so I submit more to Christ. Preserve and increase your church, expand your church, but also destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your holy word. We need to pray against the lies, the assaults, the oppositions, the conspiracies against the gospel. We need to pray against false religions and the idols of our time. We need to pray against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms, Ephesians 6. We need to pray against the spiritual or against the false teachers in the Christian church who prey on souls. As in our predators, the prosperity gospel that teaches as you have, if you have enough faith, God will heal you and make you rich in this life. Jesus, bring that down. Bring those preachers down. Convert them and raise them up, preachers of the truth. The self-esteem gospel, which teaches that your greatest problem is a lack of it. Lack of self-esteem, and the greatest solution is believing in yourself. Feeling better about yourself. The social gospel that says Jesus was just a good man for you to imitate. The liberal gospel that says much of the Bible isn't true, just pick and choose the parts that work for you, and so on. We pray against every conspiracy against the Word of God, every force that revolts against the Lord. We pray against the devil's work. Here's how Martin Luther prayed against persecuting powers that were trying to destroy Christ's weak little flock, praying against persecuting powers. Dear Lord, God and Father, convert them and defend us. That's a kingdom prayer. Convert them and defend us. Convert those who are still to become children of your kingdom so that they may serve you with us in your kingdom in right faith and true love. He's praying for persecutors. Defend us against those who will not convert, who will not turn away their focus on destroying your kingdom. Defend us against them so that when they are cast down from their thrones and humbled, they will have to cease from their efforts. So topple those powers, those persecuting powers, that will not relent and will not repent. That's what it means to pray, your kingdom come. And pray it outwardly. And we pray it inwardly too, because there's satanic opposition that still lives in me in two ways, in my lusts and in the lies I tend to believe. In my lusts. Help me, Lord, to put my lusts to death, that is my evil desires, the bitterness that possesses, poisons my soul, my self-righteousness, which looks down on others, my malicious feelings toward people, my harsh words, my sinful anger, my love of money and alcohol, and my love of me. Wherever Satan has a foothold in my life, Lord, put it down. Help me to put it down. And also whatever hold that Satan's lies have on me, Lord, root them out. Every false doctrine, like lies like my body, my choice, which leads many to mutilate their own bodies or their bodies of their babies. Or we can say, my money, my choice. That's maybe more what we tend to do. My life, my choice. When it all belongs to God, and the choice is to do what pleases Him and seeks His kingdom. Well, brothers and sisters, not only are we called to live a kingdom of God first life, but we're to seek the coming of that kingdom. The kingdom is already here on earth and is growing. Satan's kingdom has already been defeated and is failing. Do you believe that? The kingdom is already here on earth and is growing. Satan's kingdom has already been defeated and is failing. If you don't believe that, you don't believe in Jesus. That's what he did. by his death and resurrection. God's kingdom is established and growing. Satan's kingdom is destroyed and failing. The question is, do you want to be part of that? Or do you want to stay part of your own kingdom that will fail and destroy? Do you prefer opposing Jesus, the King and Judge of all the earth? Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." Jude, God has made a marvelous promise to you. Embrace that promise in faith. Say, "Lord Jesus, I want to be part of your kingdom. And I want to be part of that effort. Be an instrument of you bringing your kingdom." And that's everyone's calling here. As members of the covenant, we've been promised the kingdom, a beautiful finish, where the kingdom is perfect, and in it, God is all in all. We have been promised a beautiful finish. Shalom. Heaven. God. Jesus. Perfection. Perfect delight in God. Perfect fellowship among the saints. And forever. What a finish we've been promised. Grab it by faith. By faith in Jesus, you enter that kingdom. That's the kingdom Jesus died to raise. That's the kingdom we pray to come. That's the kingdom God will bring. And if you don't embrace that, and that Christ, that King, the finish line for you will be horrible. Eternal fires of hell. Weeping and gnashing of teeth forever. And you don't need to have that happen to you. Because Christ is calling you to trust in him, believe in him, and seek first his kingdom. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to know the King of Kings, and even more so to be known by him. What a blessing to be promised the kingdom of heaven. Lord, help us to enter into this blessing personally by trusting in you and giving up on ourselves and our own earthly kingdoms. In a world of worry, grant that we may seek first Christ, the coming of his kingdom, trusting that everything else will be added. We pray that for Jude. We pray that for each one of us. Be gracious to us and take us all the way to that perfect finish line where God is all in all, and use us to be instruments in the lives of others, that people around the world may also join us in this kingdom and also race with us to that great and glorious finish line. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.